Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with
Tom Meyer from the Hamilton.
And thanks for joining us. We're here talking about this larger music series we're doing. We're checking in with all the venues in the changing DC music landscape. So thanks for coming in.
Absolutely.
Now, let's start off like we've done with everybody. Just give us a little reminder about the history of Hamilton Live. I know that, you know, there's several bars and restaurant space upstairs, but when did the concert part open up on downstairs?
It opened when we opened. I think we're having our 7th anniversary in January, and you know, I'm a music aficionado. It's my passion besides the restaurant business, and the music business was changing, and I, you know, because people, artists couldn't make money selling albums anymore, so.
Internet, right? Internet.
Yeah, and so they had to buy groceries. They really had to hit the road and tour a lot more. That's where the majority of their artist income were coming from, was touring. And there hadn't been a club open in D.C. in a long, long time, you know, and there was great clubs, you know, with the 930 Club and the Birchmere kind of were the anchors. And I thought, wow, that dynamic is changing where all these bands need to play and there hasn't been a stage available. So that was kind of why I thought it was a good idea.
It's fitting that you mentioned just a second ago about how, you know, due to the internet that, you know, a lot of music is streaming and these artists need to be, you know, have live shows now. I say it's fitting because every year, I know you guys host that Grammys on the Hill event.
Yes, that's
which,
right.
Which is basically all about that. All the artists come and they go on Capitol Hill and the lawmakers are there and, you know, they campaign for music licensing rights. God, I'm trying to think who all's been honored. Zach Brown, Keith Urban, Lady Antebellum, Alicia Keys, and then like Smokey Robinson, all these other people come out to perform with them. And just seeing it in that intimate setting, it's like one of my highlights every year to go cover because it's just to see them up close. Remind us of how did that partnership start with you and the Grammys on the Hill? Or are you just sort of the venue where it happens? The room where it happens?
We know some people who are involved with that organization, and they were looking for a place. I think they used to do it in hotels and stuff like that, and it was just kind of the perfect size, and we have the production abilities to pull off a great show and to also pull off a nice dinner because, you know, we are a restaurant, so I think those two things appeal to them.
Describe sort of that, you know, when you go into, I mean, and we're radio, so we got to sort of paint a visual picture. Theater of the mind. But, you know, when you come into the Hamilton and you go down those stairs, sort of describe for someone that's never been down there, what, just the atmosphere. What do you see? What do you walk into? And why is it such a good listening room?
Well, the first time people that go down there, I don't think they really know what to expect. And they walk down these lit up stairs designed after the sidewalks in New York City and Soho to the opposite effect, lit from behind. And then, you know, they make a turn and it's boom, they see it all at once. And I mean, they get wide-eyed and slack-jawed. They're not expecting this sizable room that I think is a pretty good-looking room. And then, you know, not to brag, but we spent a lot of time and effort and resources making sure that room sounds real well. I think we have the best sound guy in the city, and we have, you know, it was designed by the room itself was tuned by audio architects, and it was, you know, it sounds great in there. So when it's, you know, it's big enough to get a well-known band but small enough to still feel intimate. And we have kind of a hybrid where it's a seated room, we can do quiet shows. It also, you know, we have bars in the back of the room where you can stand up and, you know, and dance and, you know, carry on a bit.
Talk to me about the sort of the, because you mentioned it is a restaurant as well upstairs, obviously. Right. And with great sushi happy hour. Check it out, everybody. several bars upstairs. Remind our listeners if, let's say they have been to the upstairs portion, but maybe never downstairs. What crossover is there between the menu, or is there different options?
No, we have a separate menu. When I did the food for downstairs, I wanted to do had two things in mind, that it was quiet food, I call it. So there's not a lot of knives and forks. You know, it's like sushi and pizza, things you eat with your hands, and now there's a lot of clinking and clanking.
Right.
And it's also food that kind of looks good, half eaten, if you will. If somebody gets up and goes to dance or something, you know,
you
don't want to see a pork chop and mashed potatoes. It's kind of gross.
Right,
so it's like a half a pizza still looks okay, you know, it's kind of sexy looking. That's the two things I had in mind anyway.
I love. No, it's funny. You don't think about the thought that goes into just little things like that.
Yeah.
That's great.
You know, it's like we don't have ice water, you know, because the, believe it or not, everyone has drinking ice water. The ice in the glasses are clinking around. It's a distraction. So this, a lot of the thought goes into it.
And I'm trying to remember. So I've been there for actual shows, not just the Grandma's on the Hill thing, but for the actual shows, it's like shared, it's like community table seating in some spots.
Yes,
or, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Or community table seating.
Okay. I guess the Birchmere is similar in that way,
yes.
But I'd say, but Birchmere is, I don't know, just to compare and contrast, Birchmere is a little more, I guess, rustic, a little more like supper kind of thing, and you guys are, I don't know, I don't want to say like the Copa, but you know, it's a little fancier.
It is a little fancier than the Birchmere, but you know, the Birchmere is, I don't know, I would call it the anchor of live music, and this town has been really fortunate to have the Birchmere over the last four decades, you know, they... Yeah. That's one of the great roadhouses in America, I would say. You know?
Everybody's played there.
Yeah.
Ray Charles, I think, played his last show there.
Yes,
I know a lot of people don't remember that. But
yeah.
Anyway, but back to the Hamilton. Remind us some of the people who've played there. I mean, you mentioned that you have the ability to get, you know, some bigger names, but also a lot of locals.
Yeah. You know, when we opened the place, I love New Orleans music, so we kind of made that kind of a cornerstone of what we do. So all the wonderful musicians from New Orleans have been through there, the Nevilles and the Meters and the Funky Meters and Kermit Ruffins and Anders Osborne and that whole, you know, Dr. John. Mm-hmm. We love that genre of music, so we kind of, that's kind of a building block for all music, in my opinion, and for the music at the Hamilton. But, you know, one of the great young bands we had before anybody heard of them was the Revivalists, and that's a New Orleans band, and they've since... You know, I think the first time we had them, we had like 60 or 70 people in the room, and now they'll sell out the Anthem. They can sell 6,000 tickets. So that was, you know, that's kind of really gratifying to me to kind of have a band before. You know, another guy, Marcus King, who was pretty unknown when we first played him and is now playing in much larger rooms. So Lake Street Dive played for us, and they're playing big venues now. So that's kind of an exciting thing to get these bands on the way on the way up, you know.
Do you have a personal favorite? Not band or, but just memory of being down there of like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm watching this act.
Yeah, I mean, as a kid, you know, I really loved the Grateful Dead and Little Feet. And so we had Little Feet 1 year for two nights over, it was our New Year's Eve run. And that was kind of thrilling for me.
Right, personal level, yeah.
Yeah, and also we get another person who's kind of a hero of mine in the country music genre is Emmylou Harris.
Of course.
And I remember as a kid just listening over, you know, just loved listening to Emmylou Harris. And then to have her in the room is somewhat royalty for me. And, you know, she actually, you know, she used to play at our flagship restaurant, Clyde's in Georgetown, back in the 70s.
Oh, I didn't realize you guys are all part of the same, part of Clyde's?
Yeah.
The same, oh, okay.
And she... She used to play at Clyde's, you know, years ago, you know, before she got her big.
And what was her?
She was a local girl.
What was her reaction, you know, coming out? What did she say about the space?
The Hamilton. She loves the Hamilton. We do a fundraiser. I think she's playing here in a couple of weeks. We do a, she has a dog rescue organization called Bonaparte's Retreat, and we do a nice fundraiser for her every year, and she usually brings kind of note, people from Nashville with her. This year she's bringing Will Kimbrough, who's a great player.
Well, that might have to be a whole separate story on WTOP, depending when this sucker runs.
I mean, Emmylou is, you know, she met Graham Parsons and sang with him for the first time at Clyde's in Georgetown, which is kind of the, you could argue, the Rubicon of what made country music cool in the world, you know.
So you guys started it all. What about? We just mentioned, you know, what was the artist's reaction, but what do you know, patrons say often to you as their feedback when they're leaving there? Oh, I love this place because of this.
Yeah, I mean, we have an amazing amount of regulars that come there, and they, you know, the people who support live music is, you know, I just love them. It's a funny business because it's. You know, they thank me for such a wonderful room and the wonderful music, and I sincerely thank them for coming out because I said it's not so fun until you get here, you know.
Without you guys, we wouldn't have it.
It's a big empty room until you show up.
Yeah.
And, you know, and their participation in the room is just critical, you know. And it sounds a little bit cliche, but, you know, when people come out on a Tuesday night and it's inclement weather and you put 400 people in a room, you know, it's an effort on their part to come out and enjoy the music. So it's, you know, yeah, it's kind of a, it's a great relationship we have with the with our guests.
Yeah. Well, just sort of big picture it for me, where, you know, in terms of like sort of the overall piece I'm doing, you know, there's so many venues now around town, which I think is a great thing. So many options for people. And they each sort of have their own little lane, their little niche, their little slice of the pie. What would you say Hamilton's slice of the pie? You know, someone's going to go to the Anthem for one thing, 9:30 for another thing.
Yeah.
What kind of person, what kind of music, what kind of vibe, why do you go Hamilton live over others?
Well,
and I don't want to pigeonhole you. Obviously,
yeah,
you,
it's hard to, I mean, in the old days, I think you could pigeonhole these clubs a little more. We can't really, you know, I said before, like a cornerstone of what we do is the New Orleans music. And, you know, and yeah, our club works really well for jazz music. You know, mm-hmm, we had a band called Mad Skillet the other night with, you know, John McDesky and Terrence Higgins. It was a just kind of a top-notch jazz outfit. And it's a quiet room. It sounds perfect. And it's seated. And it really works well for jazz, although jazz doesn't sell as well as some other right, genres. But, you know, so that's, you know, New Orleans music, jazz music. And then we do, you know, we love doing the jam band, you know, stuff. Mm. The hippies show up every night of the week. I don't care.
Yeah.
And so we do, you know, a fair amount of that kind of programming. And, you know, we do well with, there's a group, the Neumeier Flyer, who does tribute work. You know, they'll do the, like we did, every year we do a tribute to The Last Waltz.
Nice.
Live that Ronnie Neumeier puts together, and that's a very successful show for us. So I guess we skew a little older than, you know, the...
Yeah, what would you say your demo is usually, technically?
Well, of course, it depends who's playing, but I think it's, you know, we do get bands that, younger bands, but, you know, I guess our demographic would skew a little older than that, like late 30s up.
Right. Well, I'm almost there myself. I'm basically there, so I'll see it more often.
I wish I was there.
Yeah. Yeah. Just sort of in closing, I mean, where do you see DC, the music scene, at now? I mean, because there, you know, there used to be, you know, in the old days, you know, Georgetown had Cellar Door and all that rich history. I mean, you know, you're talking about Clyde's and everything. But a lot of those disappeared, except for maybe Blues Alley over there. But there's such a wealth of options now. Where do you see the city as a whole in terms of, you know, against the great music cities in the rest of the country?
Well, I think, you know, I think we're catching up. I think it's exciting, you know, and I like to think it's going to float all boats. You know, if you're traveling now and you're heading into D.C., you know, you'd have to think, wow, there's going to be some, I mean... You know, the perils of that is, you know, there's a lot of clubs fighting for, there's only so much talent out there.
Right.
So it's you're more, the competition is more for booking the talent than the guests generally. Mm. But then, you know, some nights you'll have, you know, I'll have a great bluegrass band, and then you look up and there's another great bluegrass band playing at, you know, the Birchmere, and then there's one at the Anthem, and you kind of split that party. You know, it's not quite New York City here. Right. So that's a little bit to the detriment of what's going on. But I think, you know, in my opinion, at the end of the day, being a great music town is going to float all boats. And I was thinking in my head the other day, like, the great music cities, you know, let's call New Orleans, Austin, Texas, mm-hmm, New York City.
Nashville.
You know, there's a later thing, like, you could take in kind of two shows. Like, so I've been floating this idea in my head, maybe, you know, because, you know, these shows get out of the Warner or the Anthem. They end at 10. Maybe we, you know, like in New Orleans, you can always go see a later show.
Right.
You can do two, you know, and so that's something I think that would enhance our business, certainly enhance the town.
It would enhance the town because there's things close too early in this town.
Except for I was in San Diego recently, and holy moly, that town really shuts down early. I
mean, really?
Oh, yeah, that's done at 9 o'clock at night. You can't get a drink or anything.
Man.
But yeah, I mean, that's I think, would enhance the town, like doing, you know, a late show.
Yeah.
Which doesn't really happen. That happens in, you know, like I said, Austin and New Orleans and New York City and things.
Yeah. Well,
you know, but we do have the Loft, which is when the when our shows end on Friday and Saturday nights, we have some of the top talent, local talent in the city playing in our Loft, or it's right above the Hamilton, and that, you know, that'll fill right up, you know, people, which is kind of fun. The music starts up there at 10 o'clock at night, which is cool.
Okay.
And one night we had Lady Gaga's band up there.
Really?
We have... When people are in town, they want to, like, Warren Haynes, a Government Mule, was playing at the Warner Theater. He ate dinner at the Hamilton, and he wanted to play, and so he took he took the government mule upstairs to the loft and played till 2 o'clock in the morning, which was
that's awesome. Yeah. So maybe you are already kind of doing that, but yeah. let's keep. But I like that idea though. Yeah. Let's try to spread that around town a little bit. It'd be nice that you go see one show and pop out, and then you got your the after party almost better sometimes.
Yes, exactly right.
All right, I like that. All right, well that's good. Thanks so much for coming in. I got more than enough to work with, so thanks so much.
Yeah.